Well, thank you, Pastor, for letting me do it, and thank you all for coming. It is an absolute joy to be here. My dad always says a saying he got from somebody, and the saying is that today is Friday, but Sunday's coming. That's how I always think of Sunday in church. So today the Lord had it on my heart to talk about doing good works under imperfect leadership. And so, like, this is election, and so some of us are mad, and some of us are happy. Me, personally, I don't like it, and I can't vote yet, but we can learn to respect them if they are going under the law of the Lord, if they are following the law of the Lord. And Titus 3, we're going to be in today. You would turn there with me. Says, remind the people. Well, first, so this letter is a book that Paul's writing it to Titus. And Titus is a young pastor, and he is sent to Crete. And Crete at this time is a Roman island that people, they say they're believers, but they're wicked. They're full of sin. They are warped by the devil. And Titus is sent to bring order back. He is sent to say that you all need to fix your eyes on Christ. You need to live the legacy that Christ lived. Starting on verse 3, remind the people subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and to show true humility toward all men. For one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another, but when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone, but avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and arguments and quarrels about the law, because these are unprofitable and useless. Warn a divisive person once, and then warn him a second time. After that, have nothing to do with him. You may be sure that such a man is warped and sinful. He is self-condemned. So Paul to Titus here is talking why we do good and what we are not supposed to do. And the first thing is be obedient and do good. We see this in verse 3, 1, and 2. In chapter 3, verse 1, 2. Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and to show true humility toward all men. And I don't know about you all, but obedience, I think, is one of the hardest things for us humans, because we have our own agenda. We want to go our own way. Sometimes we're stubborn and we think our way is the best way. But what we need to realize is God knows our future plans, and He's the ruler of the universe. And especially with rulers and that, sometimes we think we are smarter than them. So we go our own way, and we see in the world there's such division. There's such calamity because There is no obedience. Everybody wants to go their own way. But there is one way that we need to follow. And Paul here is talking about following Christ, telling Titus to tell the people to follow Christ. Following Christ is the best way. And then verse 2, to slander no one, to be good, to be peaceable and considerate, and to show true humility toward all men. You know, it's sad to say for me, that one of the hardest things for me, honestly, is not to slander somebody, especially with elections and people in different parties. You think, oh, this person is better than the other person. And a lot of times we talk behind their back and act like they're terrible. But the thing is, we're all sinful. And if we are angry about them, angry about their positions, that should drive us to want to pray for them. That should drive me to want to pray for the opposing party if I don't agree with what they're saying. Because if we just get angry at people, it's not going to solve anything. So we want to pray for people if we are angry at them. Be peaceable and considerate. This world is filled with such chaos. It's filled with such evil. It seems like a lot of times anymore, people want to solve the answers with automatic violence. But peace is the way, because it doesn't really hurt anybody. It still gets a... Martin Luther King, when he was trying to give equal rights, he didn't do violent protests. He walked the streets. And he did it peaceably. And it ended up happening in his favor. It is so much better to be peaceable about stuff and considerate. Being considerate. Too often, we just put it between us and another person. We don't think about what they're going through. We don't try to sympathize with them. In school, a lot of times, got to sympathize with a lot of people. Got to try to meet them where we are and talk to them as friends. Act like we're their friends. And to show true humility toward all men. To be humble, to think of everybody, just like ourselves. You know, this world, it's... A lot of it is, I want to be higher than that person. I want to have more authority. I want to be stronger. This world is not working together. We need to work together to further the kingdom of God. A nation divided will fall apart. We see America is being divided by political parties. It seems like there's no common ground anymore. We need to have that true humility to work together and bring the world back to Christ. When Christ walked the earth, he was humble about it. And he got disciples out of that. People chose to follow him. When people get mad about something, super mad, then oftentimes that turns people away. And humility also is a super hard thing, because I think our natural human instinct is, if something bad happens, we want to get angry. But if we are humble about things, then that will show. And then the second thing, so he talks about being obedient and doing good because God saved us. Chapter 3, verse 3, for at one time we too were foolish. We were foolish. We were just like those sinful people. I was just like those sinful people. But Christ saved me. Disobedient and deceived and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. There is so much passions and pleasures that this world has to offer. There, somebody is all advertisements. You're on YouTube, and you get all these advertisements. They're always trying to give you something. But what they're missing is they don't advertise for Christ. We need to advertise for Christ. Like that, where we live the Christ life, and that is an advertisement. That is a testimony to that other believer. And oftentimes, when you show Christ, people will ask you. People will ask you about Christ, and you can slowly relay that to them. I absolutely love being able to have the chance at school for somebody asks me something, and we can have a conversation about it and go to the Bible and learn the right answer about it. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. Just like I said, there's a lot of hatred because people don't know, these people don't know Christ, that hate everybody. Christ called to love. We are supposed to love by caring and pointing people in the right direction. Hatred oftentimes leads to violence. But when the kindness and love of our God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. See, Paul is saying here that God saved us, not because of righteousness. We are all sinful. The truth is, we all deserve hell. But what a wonderful gift it is to realize that we were headed to hell, but there's a complete 180 headed to Christ in glory. I'm so excited to see Christ. And the amazing thing is, I can see Christ in a lot of people. I can see Christ in all of you here. This is a wonderful church, and I thank you for it. He saved us through the washing of rebirth, renewal by the Holy Spirit. He saved us, He saved us, He saved us. See, Paul is emphasizing here that Christ saved us to make the people understand that Christ saved us from something. When you are saved from something to something else. We were saved from hell to eternal life with Christ. So why would we want to still sin because of that? Because Christ saved us from that, why would we want to sin? Why would we not want to praise Him to the top of our lungs and tell people about Him every chance we can get? Because I hate the idea of somebody going to hell because I didn't tell them about the Lord. Whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior. Holy Spirit, God poured His grace on us. He saved us. He saved me. And it is such a blessing to be able to tell other people about that. I'm sorry. So that having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Eternal life. You know, this world, there's so much chaos. But in heaven, there's going to be peace. There's going to be love. We're going to be able to see Jesus. That is such a hope. Because if we focus eternally, then this world is a light momentary affliction. When we look at eternity, when we suffer in this world, we can look forward to eternity with Christ, the reward we get after it. And in America, we don't see that term compared to other countries. I know other countries right now, China, Russia, and places like that, there's persecution of all faith. They're getting put in concentration camps. They're getting beaten. But they know their reward and they're willing to die. In America, I think sometimes Christians are afraid of what people will say about them. I often find that in public school. There's some kids where they want to talk about the Lord, but they're afraid of what this person will say. But what we need to realize is that Christ is ahead of us. Christ is the one making a way. If Christ is for us, who is against us? This is a trustworthy saying. It is trustworthy because Christ is the one behind this all. He is the masterpiece. So when we serve Him, we are serving a masterpiece. We are serving a perfectionist because He is continually giving us grace, saving us to be more like every day. Because just like Titus here, he was sent to Crete to teach what was right, to teach true doctrine, and to live the life of Christ, and we are to do the same. To show Christ in everything we are doing, by doing what is good. He is listing things here of doing what is good. From being foolish, being bad, to being kind, and the Lord saving us. I am saved, and I will always continually try to do what is good, to be able to pass that on to the next person that needs it, because we never know who the next person is that needs it. We never know, so if we continually do what is good in whatever situation, leadership situation, any situation that we are in, people will see that. Sometimes we won't get questions, but they are still looking. God saved us, so we should avoid foolish arguments. You know, Genesis seminars, there was a guy here a little bit ago that was here, and he was talking about the world is attacking us, especially with like evolution and that, public school system, all this new ideology. The public school system is attacking it. And he had like a picture of a castle of the world attacking the church, and then the church castle attacking its own. Like the church arguing over whether we should do hymns or contemporary Christian. I really like this church how we do, because we do hymns and then we do contemporary Christian. That's really cool, the mix there is. And then some people fight over the color of the carpet. When we are fighting over foolish things, it doesn't look attractive at all. It doesn't look attractive because we're wasting our time. See, this life, it's not a long life. So if we are fighting over foolish arguments, then we are wasting our time. And Paul is saying this because he is talking about making time and being wise in the time, doing what is good. Do what is good. We can live that out with all of these things. Because if Titus was able to live it out, a young pastor, we all can live it out too. So, avoid foolish arguments. And also, if somebody is not listening to your teaching, then warn them twice. It's starting verse 9, But avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and arguments and quarrels about the law, because these are unprofitable and useless. Warn a divisive person once, and then warn him a second time. After that, have nothing to do with him. Now, this sounds harsh, but I think what Paul is saying here is leading on to the next verse 11. You may be sure that such a man is warped and sinful. He is self-condemned. There is people that are in sin, and they have been told they are doing wrong, but they continue to live in that because they enjoy it. For Bible study, I do Bible study with the walks, and last night we were talking about, would you rather eat the donut or the apple? At first we eat the donut because it tastes good in that, but then when we accept Christ, we try to lean away from that donut and start to eat the apple, eat the healthy thing. That's how we are supposed to live. Because if we warn a person constantly and constantly and constantly and they don't get it, then we need to let the Holy Spirit do it. And so it is so amazing that sometimes there is times that people say that somebody is wrong and they pray for them and that, and they do change. See, the key thing here, I think Paul is trying to say prayer, prayer, prayer. Prayer's behind it all. Prayer is the machine. It's like the machine for Christ. Charles Spurgeon, I was reading a Choosing to Preach book, and it said that every time he preached, there was 500 people that prayed for him. That prayed for him. So when we see this all, it is talking about how to live. Too oftentimes we end up getting into the world, we end up getting stuck into the world, and especially with foolish arguments, we find ourselves arguing about different things of the world. But we need to bring Christ into it all. We had a group of people over yesterday, and the wife was saying that she was in a store, and there was a guy there, and she ended up talking to him, and she ended up talking to him about the Lord. And he ended up accepting the Lord and said that he's going to go to their church. So she was focused on Christ there. She wasn't arguing over foolish controversies. She wasn't being foolish, but she was caring. See, Titus here, I'm sure that it was so frustrating. I'm sure that these people, he had to warn tons of times. Because in chapter 1 and 2, even one of their own people, the Cretans, said that there's so many false teachers. Probably what was happening here was that they were being influenced by Roman Empire, and they were living in this sin for a while. So I'm sure when Titus went there, he had to warn them, warn them, warn them. And I'm sure it was so sad. I'm sure it made him feel bad, because probably the first couple times they didn't listen to him. But he continually showed Christ through his actions. He continually pointed to Christ. And so all these are things that we can apply to our life. Because maybe you're in the same situation as Titus. Maybe you're in an environment where people are sinful and you are continually trying to point them to Christ. I know at work, I have a couple people that don't know the Lord and they cuss all the time, and I always try to tell them about Christ. We can do it with all these things that Paul told Titus to relay on to us. And we need to remember through this all to rely on Christ. Doing these good works, doing these things, sometimes we get dragged down. Sometimes we think, oh, I'm just doing this. This is too tiring. But we end up forgetting that Christ is the one preparing us. He is the one ahead of us preparing the works, and He has given us material, the Bible, and He has given us Him to rely on for all of these. Because this whole thing, Paul emphasizes the most on God saved us to make us realize that God is ahead of all of this, that we need to rely on God to do all these things. Because we can't do this ourselves. We ourselves are sinful or foolish. So we will fall into those traps. But if we see Christ, if we are pointing to Christ every time, then we will learn to rely on Christ, to do good, to not be foolish, so that we can be more like Him every day. Be obedient and do good because God saved us. So we are not supposed to avoid, foolish controversies and only warn a divisive person twice. All these things are an absolute amazing thing to learn. It is so amazing to be able to be up here and relay this as best as I can, with me being 17. But I can learn from this also. There are things that I take away from learning this because I am still on the path just like you all. I'm up here because I just want to encourage you all. I just want to encourage you all to keep fighting the good fight and rely on the Lord, because we are in a world that is sinful, that is warped, that is constantly putting us down. But if we build each other up and we do these things that Paul is talking about, then we will realize that we are serving a God that is over it all.
I want to encourage you with what I see in 1 Peter chapter 2. It's kind of a sister passage to what Cole just talked about. It says this: "This is the will of God." Man, when you have a verse that says, "Here's God's will," we're searching for it, and Peter goes, "Here it is, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God." That's what we're called to, folks. That's how we live as free. Pray with me. God, thank you for the word we heard this morning. Thank you for the challenge. Thank you for the encouragement that, Lord, we are simply called to follow you, to do good. Thank you for the reminder of where we were when you found us, that none of us were impressing you. You didn't choose us because we were anything great, but because you are simply that good, that merciful. Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes as to how we can live that out in the world around us this week. That we would be a people who live humbly, graciously, and lovingly as you loved us. I pray this all in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen.